Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, January the 2nd, 2026. First Friday in the month of January. First Friday in 2026. 12 and a half minutes past the hour. And as we were talking about in our first hour this morning, it was a shocker to a lot of Buckeye fans on New Year's Eve. The Miami Hurricanes defeated the Ohio State Buckeyes in the Cotton Bowl in Texas, 24-14, New Year's Eve. Yahoo Sports is calling it the biggest upset in college football playoff history. Joining us this morning, we have finally made contact with him. We tried on Wednesday morning, and we're so glad to have him with us in 2026, one of our longtime friends here at the station, ESPN Hall of Famer, Super Fan Hall of Famer in the Fan Hall of Fame, the Buckeye Guy himself. Buckeye Guy, how are you?
Happy New Year, first and foremost.
Yes, Happy New Year. How are you?
Man, excited and ready for a whole new year.
Absolutely. Now, how did you spend your New Year's Eve?
Well, listen, rooting for my hometown team. When I say my hometown team, that means I was born 3.5 miles from the Ohio State University where they currently play at the Shoe. So, even in defeat, I'm a Buckeye. Even in defeat, I'm still bullish on the 2026 team. Even in defeat, we had some great victories and milestones in 2025.
Absolutely. Now, were you down in Texas for the big game?
Here's the good news, is that I was just there 365 days ago. I had made plans for the 8th of the year, heading to beautiful Sunnyside, Glendale, Arizona. So, yeah, we tried to take care of everything we possibly could.
So, as you're watching the game, when did you first notice that there was trouble?
Well, no, because I always hold out hope to the end. And, Scott, you've seen it as well. We were within 2 or 3 points from tying and for a touchdown away from winning the game in the final second. It was 17-14 with 5 minutes left. So we were always in the game, even though the initial 14-0 was deflating.
Why do you think outlets like Yahoo Sports are calling it the biggest upset in college football playoff history?
Because it's clickbait, my friend Scott. It's clickbait because the Ohio State University has such great following and everybody likes to see a winner lose. We've been winning since 1910, my friend. We're the second or third winningest team in college football history.
When you look at this team coming off a national championship, great season, undefeated regular season, Big Ten championship, lost to Indiana, and then lost in their first playoff game, and favored to win both of those games. Why did that happen?
Well, here's the thing. It turns out that Indiana's one hell of a football team.
This is true.
They're unbelievable. You know, and when they go out and put the smack down, 38-3, on Alabama, a perennial power? At the Rose Bowl? Man, that's unbelievable. Now, here we go. They're going to face the team, Miami, with Michael Irvin being a super fan, which is good. I love seeing him out there. He's supporting his school. You know what, man? Ohio State is in a great position. We're coming up in the 2026 team. We got some great players coming in. And we're going to use the portal and NIL to our favor and continue to be the juggernaut that we are.
You know, I agree with you, because on New Year's Eve, I was having a conversation before the game started with some people who were going to get together and watch the game, and I said, I don't think you realize that Ohio State's regular season, they didn't play a lot of great teams, and Indiana is very good, and they defeated... Yeah, and they defeated Ohio State on December the 6th. So my feeling was is that New Year's Eve was not a shoe-in. I think what shocked people was is that Ohio State never had the lead, and immediately in the first quarter, Miami was 14 up on them, and certainly not favored to win the game.
I'm telling you, man, they came out, they scored, and then the ill-advised pass and the pick six interception on the screen play was, here again, I say it again, was deflating. So to get the guys back up in the second half and gain, you know, a foothold, if you will, and only down by 3 points, I thought was outstanding. 17-14, come on, man. We're right there. We had an opportunity, man, to win a big game. But here is the good and great news, that Ohio State is a team that can produce this type of win, they can produce these type of season, and they have for several decades.
Well,
so that makes it a good team to root for.
Well, and that's something I want to talk about here, Buckeye Guy, because a lot of this conversation has come down to Coach Day, as it always does.
Sure.
And I think one of the big problems with this particular loss is he took over play calling toward the end of the game. A lot of people felt that was a mistake. And there is a great lineage, as you said, at Ohio State of Woody Hayes, Earl Bruce, John Cooper, Jim Tressel, Urban Meyer, that whole group that do win, for the most part, the big games. And the trajectory of Ryan Day will be, you know, he'll obviously be coming back next year, but that in the big game, other big games, other than last year's national championship, it does not seem to go well for him. And you know, he doesn't have a winning record against Michigan. He did not do, he doesn't have a great bowl game schedule, winning schedule. Why is that?
Let me give you the updated schedule and record against the school up north. He's 2-4.
Right.
He won both of the games that they didn't have our playbook up in the state up north, because Connor Stallions had stolen all of our plays. It's pretty easy to beat a team when you know if they're going left, right, or up the middle. So you have to concede that, because that man is in federal penitentiary right now. And the coach that he was under, Jim Harbaugh, has a show cause and can't set foot back on this campus for quite some time. So, having done that is okay. Now, let's not forget, less than a year ago, we beat Tennessee at home. We flew all the way out to California for the Rose Bowl and dollywalked Oregon, flew all the way to Dallas and beat Texas Longhorns. Then we flew all the way to Atlanta to beat Notre Dame. Let's not forget, guys. Listen, don't let somebody that lives a half, 350,000 miles from here, let you not think that your team isn't one of the premier teams in college football.
No, it absolutely is. And listen, nobody's saying they could do a better job than Coach Day. I think just one of the problems is that when you look, as you said, there is a great lineage, and you've been there for a lot of it, with Ohio State, that when it comes to those Michigan games, when it comes to the championship games, for some reason, Coach Day doesn't do well in those games. Now,
explain that, though, Scott. No, I explained that. Connor Stallions is worth four in a row. Connor Stallions had our plays. He was still in our plays. That's four in a row.
Right.
So he's 2-4. And let's say if he goes 2-2 out of those four games. You got to remember, out of the last 18 years, we were 16 out of 17 games. And then you reel up four in a row, they're still in our play. And I told you that the other day. Now, they also, I even said, if Coach Harbaugh was in our huddle, we still had to win that game. And we didn't. So we have our issues with the school up north. I was at the last game that Coach Moore coached, and we were victorious there. So that's something to build on. You only can win one game at a time, Scott. And I'd love to put, 30 games against that school up north on our record, in our resume. We just can't, man.
Well, what about the bowl games other than last year's run?
Oh, okay. Thank you for talking about that, because that was monumental. Monumental to go from, losing to the school up north, not going to the Big Ten Championship, and running the table. It's unprecedented.
Right, but other than that year, the record...
I don't want to hold that. I got my trophy in my hand right now.
Right, but you would have more trophies had other years went well.
Let me tell you something. There's 118 teams out there that want to hold that trophy. There's only one at a time. And we've had our fair share. And don't forget, the Big Ten has won the last two national championships. And with the teams remaining, could possibly be three in a row. The turkey, as you call it. That would be outstanding to know that we play in a division that is the cream of the crop. And still hold our heads high. We went 12-0 in that particular division. And we lost a tough game in Indianapolis to Indiana. And Indiana is one hell of a football team.
Yeah, we're certainly finding that out. Who's your pick to be the national champions this year?
I'm rooting Big Ten. My God, I don't care who in the heck it is. I'm rooting Big Ten, and as long as we got some schools in there, that's what I'm going with.
And now that the Ohio State season is over as of New Year's Eve, what's the story of the 2025 OSU football season?
It's going to be a great day, April 15th, that Saturday, and I'm inviting you back down for my big tailgate at the spring game. I look so very forward to it, and hopefully you can make it this year. Bring your whole crew, everything on me, all tickets, all food, all drinks.
Oh, well, that sounds, tax day, that sounds good. We all need a little free stuff on tax day. That sounds good. We will put that on the calendar. Thank you, Buckeye Guy.
Thank you, man. Go Bucks, folks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. OSU superfan Buckeye Guy. See, he always gets you at the end by offering to pay for your tickets and your food and all the stuff. April 15th. Well, I guess we'll be down at the spring game. Bob Welsh, Matt Morgan joined me in studio. Well, what do you make of Buckeye Guy's analyses of the game on New Year's Eve?
By the way, I did want to clarify, he said Connor Stallions was in federal prison. Connor Stallions never even got indicted with anything. He was simply just fired, and the NCAA barred him from being hired.
He's not in federal prison.
No. Yeah. He's simply just not allowed to coach at another team for 8 years, I do believe it was.
So how do you get that messed up? Federal prison, not allowed to coach. You see, there's a lot of area in between.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to look it up, because I was like, I kept up with this, and I don't remember hearing about federal prison.
I still don't understand that sign stealing thing.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There was evidence. I mean, like, they had
Connor Stallions. Yeah, but how does that work in a game?
Well, if it wasn't worthwhile, they wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I mean, like you call
right, but
things.
They knew. See, the problem, they got found out. If they hadn't gotten found out, I could see it. You tell me Ohio State didn't change their plays before the game?
Well, no,
they knew before the game.
I don't think they did know
they
before
did. The I remember game. Having the conversation with Buckeye Guy. It was like in October.
That was like before the game last year.
Right, but my point is,
because they beat us, and then the sign-stealing thing, and then the year, and then, like, yes, before the next game, after the whole year.
Right, but my point has always been about this sign-stealing. Okay, let's say I know all your plays, okay? You have to have more than five plays.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the time that you call that play, till the time that you do it on the field, how much time?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Depends.
A minute?
Well, I mean, also, it depends, like, you know, commercial breaks and all that good
okay,
stuff.
Okay, we're talking about a minute on most points.
Yeah.
A minute. So, in a minute, my person looking to see what your play is, has to see what that play is, has to call my play caller and let them know what the next play is going to be. I have to figure out how to combat that particular play. And I have to get that out to the players on the field if I haven't called a timeout, and I have to do that all within a minute.
By the way, it was, according to the NCAA investigation, a multi-season long sign stealing thing. So I mean they had multiple seasons to get it down, and also
well, that must be pretty good.
And also, like, if I knew that, like, I don't know, say you called, like, I don't know any football calls, so say you called a play. And then, you know, you did the signals. I know what the play is through the signals. All I need to know is the best play to defend against that. I don't even need to, like...
But who was looking at him? I don't think the head coach was looking. Whoever's calling their play. I don't think the player was looking to see who was calling their play. You have to go through three different people to get this to the field.
I think you're adding more bureaucracy to the situation.
How do you think it happened? Tell me how it happened.
I think how it would happen is that, you know, OSU signals in a play.
Okay.
We're calling it play A.
So now minutes on the clock.
And then you're going to have people on the other side saying, all right, they're playing play A.
How do they know that?
Because they stole the signal.
But who stole the signal? Who saw it during the game that day?
The Michigan side.
But it's not the coach. It's not the player.
Assistant coach or whoever.
Okay, assistant coach sees it.
Defensive coordinator. They're going to say, all right, they're calling in play A, and therefore...
So then what? What's he do?
We're going to signal in that we're going to do a defense B.
To who?
To the defensive leader.
And how does he get it to the players?
Signal it in.
Okay, so they have to go... three different people.
And that could be done in the matter of 30 seconds.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
If I see you with the sign, I instantly know your play. All I have to do is say, they're running this. And then all the defensive coordinator has to do is say, we're running this. That takes... Yeah,
but you've
15,
still
got to
be
seconds.
Better than them. You've still got to do it better than they're doing it.
In theory, I can know their play and still lose because they're just taller, faster, stronger than I am. But
if they know that play A means that you're going to be running it up the left side, then you're going to be putting more people on your
left
side.
They're
going to
stunt to the left side.
Okay, fine.
Maybe they'll get you, maybe they won't.
You can always break out, but, like, they defended the play the best they could nonetheless.
If that's costing you the whole game, then you've got bigger problems.
I think so. I don't think the play stealing was the straw that broke the camel's back as far as those games, but I think it was an element.
Yeah, no.
It's not a good thing to do. I'm not saying it was the right thing to do. All I'm saying is to blame these losses on that, I don't think so.
I wouldn't blame them exclusively on that. But also, Ryan Day, for some reason, when he plays Michigan, he feels the need to change up the whole game. Like, you know, Ohio State's an air raid team. That's what they do best. They throw the ball. But some reason, because Michigan has a great run defense, Ryan Day's like, I have to prove a point. And then he just tries to run the ball consistently, and it never works.
Well, when they didn't have the plays last, was it last year? No, it's not last year now. 2 years ago, and the team had a losing... not a winning record at all, and Harbaugh was not the coach, and there wasn't any sign stealing going. So how'd they win?
Well, again, I mean, Ohio State changed up their game. I mean, they ran the ball more than they should have. They didn't throw the ball.
Which I think is what they've been doing under the whole Ryan Day regime, which is why they have a problem, not sign stealing.
Yeah, but I think the sign stealing definitely helped. I mean, if I know the play you're calling...
Then why are the games even close?
It has an edge, but they're tough teams.
Yeah,
I know your plays, and that's really a big asset to me. Game shouldn't be close.
If you're that much better than I am, and I know the play...
But they weren't that much better than Harbaugh. Harbaugh was much better than them.
I don't know about that.
He was.
Harbaugh's a good coach.
They were better than them.
You're talking about Michigan?
Yeah, during his tenure. Certainly the last couple years of his tenure.
Well, I mean, they beat Ohio State. I don't know that they were the best. There's a difference.
Okay. Well, when they're not the best, they still can.
I mean, the Browns win games, but the Browns don't make it to the playoffs ever. So, like, I mean, you know, the Browns are the best team in the NFL.
What was Michigan's record those last 2 years? It was very good.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the 1 year they
I'm not talking about the last year. I'm not talking under the coach that recently got canned. I'm talking under Harbaugh. That's what we're talking about, right?
No, I'm trying to get a roster.
Well, go ahead, get up there quick. See, got to move when we're talking this stuff. Right, yeah, got to move.
But I don't know their record.
They were a good team.
They were a good team. I don't care about their record. I don't remember the game 2 years ago, let alone roughly this year. You know, there are more things in my life than how
many I'd say I made him defend Ohio State. I like it. Go ahead.
Yeah, but no.
Did you like it? Turn the tables.
You're a master of
material. 2023 was the last year Harbaugh was at Michigan, and they won the national championship.
Oh, imagine that. Did they have all the everybody's signs, everybody's team they played?
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No, they didn't investigate that. Just Ohio State.
I mean, they did say multi-year.
You guys are full of it.
Multi-year.
Here you go.
With every team they played?
But here you go.
Yes, I mean, like I can look, NCAA has...
Michigan is a tough team. They're difficult to beat.
Clear.
But then you come down on the Big Ten of not having any tough teams. You can't have it both ways.
No, I didn't say they didn't have any tough teams. I just said the Ohio State schedule was not great.
Well, yeah, but we're playing the Big Ten teams, and they are a force to be reckoned with, like Buckeye guy was saying.
But he just won the national championship. He won the national championship that year.
Doesn't that make them a difficult team to beat? A tough team?
Who?
Michigan?
Yeah, that's my point.
Well,
that's my
point. I mean,
the Big Ten.
The 2024 season was kind of rough for Michigan. I mean, they lost all their players. I mean,
so they're saying that they had every team's calls.
Look, do you want me to? I can give you the whole rundown that the NCAA gave. Okay.
I don't think the play calling made that much of a difference. I just think people are jumping all over it because they don't want to admit that Michigan is a difficult team.
How come all the other schools aren't saying, "Well, Michigan beat us for that reason. Michigan beat us for that reason. Michigan beat us for that reason"?
Because they're not petty. That's about it.
Yeah.
No, it's not petty. It's serious. No, they could have beat them.
Well,
Michigan could have wiped the floor with them.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
they could have wiped the floor with
the
Michigan.
The NCAA gave Connor Stallion.
He's in federal prison, isn't he?
No. The NCAA gave Connor Stallions an 8-year ban, and I don't know like what they call their infractions. But
why did he go to federal prison for that?
I don't know. See, that's why I had this because
they're violating federal gambling laws.
I guess so.
Yeah, I guess they could. No, there was theory, but there was there no was gambling.
No, there was no sports gambling then. Anyway, okay.
Are you doubting Buckeye guy? It sounds like you are.
Oh, no, no. I wanted to make Matt defend Ohio State, and he did.
I was more...
See, you can just whip it around there.
I'm not so much... It wasn't so much Ohio State as it was just... Connor Stallions had a multi-year-long scheme that got him banned from the NCAA for 8 years, and the NCAA deemed it as their highest level of classification of cheating. I don't know what
when you have a contrarian, all you have to do is pick the other side. And you get them on the opposite side.
Look, I was not defending Ohio State.
You were. Oh, we got the tape.
Yes,
we got the tape.
Said that Ryan Day made bad decisions.
Ryan Day changed the entirety of
Ohio State's game plan. I said that.
You said Michigan would maybe not have won those games had it been not for the sign steal.
Yeah. If I knew your plays, yes, it'd be helpful for me.
You defended Ohio State. That's very nice. I think that's cute.
Okay.
All right. On to the next subject here. Now, we're being told here that the guy who stabbed the person, killed him, I guess is what it would be,
yes,
in the, what was it, campground?
Riverbed, is that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. He was sentenced to a maximum of 15 years to life. Okay.
Maximum of 15, all right.
The guy appealed his conviction, and it was upheld by the District Court of Appeals.
Okay.
So apparently, we got bad information?
15 years.
I guess.
I think this...
On a murder?
You need to double-check all your facts always.
Well, I do believe...
I don't know. Was it a murder?
I assume...
Apparently it was, but it was murder by stabbing rather than the typical...
I would have to assume there was something else that happened. Otherwise, I mean, 15 to... I mean, I guess it's 15 to life, but, like, I figured you'd be getting more than a minimum of 15 and a maximum of life. I figured, like, you know... I mean, if I went and stabbed somebody, I mean, that's still at the very least, what, second-degree murder?
Well, I mean, I...
What was he charged with?
Murder.
When somebody dies, don't you go for murder?
Yes.
I mean, what do you do? Accidentally walk into his knife? Did that girl accidentally walk into the knife?
The lesser charge of manslaughter, but that wouldn't be involved with stabbing. Stabbing is a crime of passion.
I think there's a little bias.
You don't accidentally have a knife go off and kill somebody.
I think there's a little bias coming from that correction. The correction's right, but I think a little bias in the opinion, but that's okay.
I think if the victim had stolen the signs of the murderer, then he might have lived.
If he only knew the signs, the signs that were coming.
That big butcher knife coming at you. Hey, Matt, how you doing? Oh, I got my butcher knife for you.
This is why the camping's for the birds. Camping is for the birds. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. No, but I think a lot of this is seen through a spectrum of bias, and I think that's one of the problems. You know, if you are personally involved, you don't see things clearly.
Well, I think that's true with anything, is that you're seeing things from your perspective, and your perspective may be a little tainted one way or the other. Everybody has their own perspective.
Of course they do.
You know, and so everybody has a little bit of bias, and you just can't...
Except me.
Except you, yes. And I think that's why you do so well, is that you are not biased in any fashion.
You got that right.
But everybody has a little bit of bias, and I think the mark of any reporter or discussion person is to not let that bias come through.
That's it. And that's what people... you have a bias. Everybody has a bias. Everybody has. As I've always said for years and years, I vote. Clearly, I vote for a candidate. Now, I will say I voted both ways, as most people will say.
I think they do, yeah.
Right. So, yes, there is a bias. But the trick is to not let your bias come through. When you hit whatever it is now, airwave, you're doing your little news show, and you already let people know which side you come down on, that's the bias. That's the problem. You're not even trying to hide it. You're not trying to give people a fair shake. You're trying to give people your shake, and that is different. Sorry.
I remember back in the, the Khrushchev era, you know, of Russian politics, and people were complaining that their newspaper, Pravda, was heavily slanted toward the Russian position. And they said, well, yes, it is. You know,
yeah.
But your newspapers, your Times, your Wall Street, and so forth, we don't know where your bias is coming from. And so we let our bias show, and therefore we are a more honest newspaper than your American newspapers, because you know where we're coming from. We don't know where you're coming from.
But I think you can have no bias. I've never sat down to do an interview with a politician and thought, I'm going to get him.
No, and you know, I've heard a lot of interviews of yours on both sides, and it's never been, I gotcha. You know, and I'm always kind of rooting to say, go for it, Scott. Go for the blood, and you don't. I mean...
I would disagree with that. I think it's go for the blood, but it's go for the blood on both sides. Because I can tell you that if you take the two people running for governor right now, they've both been on, and after both interviews, both their people have been angry at questions that I've asked during those interviews.
Because of the...
They didn't want them asked. Because they suspected, I guess, that there was going to be some bias in those interviews. And I think now what you shouldn't do is give your opinion. Now, if that's go for the blood, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say, you know, I think you're a blah, 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 and you do this, and you do that, and you do this, and you do that. Now, see, that's just me giving my opinion. That gets us nowhere. Right. What do you learn from that?
No.
You learn how I feel, but you don't learn anything else.
Yeah, you know, and if we knew that you were always going to go to the left or to the right, and, you know, you would lose that side of the audience. Because, I mean, they would say, well, you go on the Scott Spears show, you know he's going to get you because you're left and he's right, or you're right and he's left. You know, and you can't do that. I mean, if you want to interview both sides in a fair fashion, you have to give them both a fair shake.
But tough questions...
Tough questions should be par for the course.
And they are. And they are. But so what is go for the blood, in your opinion?
I mean, you know, let's say in the, just using the Buckeye guy interview that just came up here, and he mentioned the one guy who's in federal prison. I think if you oh no, Buckeye guy, you're wrong. This is a Cameron. What's his name? Cameron, whatever.
Connor Stallions.
Connor Callions. He's not in federal prison. You're wrong. You know, and here I'm going to flash up on the screen here that the fact that he's living nicely in Brentwood, California.
Well, had I known he wasn't in federal prison, I would have pointed that out.
Oh, there you go. Oh, so you would go for the.
Yeah, but that's a fact. That's not my opinion. Yeah. That's fact.
But that's. The one thing that, you know, most politicians don't want to discuss is the facts. I mean, how often have you seen Trump ignore the facts in order to say, you know, we're the greatest party that's ever lived because, you know, we did away with tariffs.
Right, but see, now here's the difference. Okay, like I think back to Vivek Ramaswamy when he was on back in April. Exactly. I asked him about the Lake Ohio thing because that was the thing that had made the most news at the time.
Correct.
That was a fact. He did make that statement. And his people tried to walk it back, and he did not walk it back, but he did walk it back in that interview. That's a fair, hard-nosed question. Nobody else had asked it, and that's not my opinion. That's based in fact.
Yeah.
Now, I think you're an idiot. Now, that's fact. That's opinion. And so that becomes a problem. But see, go for the blood usually means is that you're trying to hurt them. That's different than a hard question. I asked Amy Acton, how are you going to get rid of all the people who feel you mishandled COVID? I'm sure that's a difficult question that she has not been asked a whole lot by the media because she hadn't done a whole lot of media. That's a fair question, though, because it is a fact that a lot of people are against her for that reason. But that's not... Amy Acton, I think you handled COVID wrong and ruined businesses for blah, 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 blah. What are you going to do about that? See, there are different ways to handle this. One is a very biased way. One is a non-biased way. And then there's a powder puff interview where you don't ask anything.
Well, I mean, I think to the credit of any good journalist, you need to walk the thin line of being fair to everybody that you interview.
I don't remember the term that Weslyn Davis used, but that was a good example. I would never have asked her, did she say that people thought she was stupid or it was something like that? I don't want to misquote it, but it came right at the end. I said, what's the biggest misconception people have about you? And she said something along the lines of, people think I'm stupid. Now, that's fair game now. And then I said, are you stupid? So to me, that's a fair question because you said that's what people think. That's the biggest misconception about you. That's not a biased question. You just said it. But if I'd come in, you know, Weslyn, you're stupid. You know, why are you so stupid? That's different. Same question. But one's biased and one's not. One's based in fact, one's not.
I don't think those are exactly the same question.
I think they are.
You phrased the one as she said, because you asked about the biggest misconception. She said that that people think she's stupid, and then you said, "Are you stupid?" That's a whole different thing than you said that.
Right.
It would have been different if I just said, "Why are you so stupid?" Because then it's making you sound like you think she is stupid.
Right. That's my opinion. Yeah, that's what you should never do.
That's not the same question.
Essentially,
you asked, are you stupid or why are you so stupid?
I'm telling you, the answer you're going to get is pretty well the same answer, which is I'm not. So same question. You're getting the same information.
Question's not the same.
It is the same because one is I'm giving my opinion and one is I'm not. That's the only difference.
Okay.
You're going to get the same answer. All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, is he the one that sounded like a 13, 14-year-old kid?
You know, I don't know. I thought she sounded okay.
Well, you had one girl on there a while back, and she sounded like she was in her teens, a teenage girl. And, I mean, I don't help either when people think you sound like a little kid, but...
Well, I don't think there's much you can do about that.
Well, there's, you know, not much she can do about that, but that's, you know...
That's so what about, thing. What about
I mean,
the...
You come up here from the South and start talking your Southern bullcrap, you know. People up here might not... You know,
no, we love
be
that.
Willing to back either.
What about the guy in the campgrounds? Maximum of 15 years to life.
Who got that?
Well, that was the guy you were talking about earlier, I think, in the campground incident.
Oh, no, he got 7 years.
Well, I'm being told different. I'm being told 15 years to life.
There must be different stabbers.
Well, you asked Adam. Adam what, had it on
this
the
guy's name?
Radio. And he
what's the guy's name?
That, and he said...
Back to life.
He didn't think that was a, you know, sentence somebody should get for killing people. Who's telling you 15, the internet?
No. It's coming from somebody else. But, what's the guy's name?
Chad Greenwalt.
Okay, Chad Greenwalt. So it's you're saying not 15 years to life?
No, 7.
Okay.
And I don't even know if it was life.
Well, we'll get our fact checkers on this and see what we can come up with.
Yeah, because now I'm curious. You're saying 15. I know it was 7.
Well, I didn't say it. It came from somebody.
Oh.
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah,
Bob?
Did you find it yet?
No, I'm looking.
You got to make those fingers work quick.
There's an old light.
Kids with these computers anymore? Telephones?
2026, our goal to get everything done. Johnny on the spot.
Well, this might be it.
Here we go.
This is an appeal.
If I was a girl's family, I would have been kind of upset about that sentence, 7 years.
Well, I'm sure they're upset about the murder. I think that's probably upsetting enough.
Well, they're upset about the murder, but then, you know, when somebody murders your daughter or your loved one, and they get up there and they get a lousy sentence like that.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we can come up with it here. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, Bob, what do you think?
I think it's time to discuss something different. I've got an idea that I kind of proposed.
Oh, go ahead.
About 10, 12 days ago that we need to follow up on. Are we going to do a road trip to Santa Claus, Indiana?
You know, you disappeared. I thought you were going to, like, give us a date and it was going to be a big thing.
Well,
Buckeye Guy gives us 4 months in advance here. Tax day.
Well, there you go. We can do it the day after tax day. No, well, I was busy during the holidays.
Well, but isn't that when you want to go? You don't really want to go in January, do you?
They might be too busy to see you.
No.
She said they're there year-round.
They are, yeah.
They've got this museum.
They're there year-round, but I really think to get the full effect of the area...
I
don't know what you're doing with the pictures on the wall either, by the way. That's a whole other subject. During the break, you're pounding nails into the wall. I'm doing all kinds of things.
The answer will be at the end.
I don't know what you're doing here, though.
I am rearranging things so that you give a better perspective on what you have hanging on the wall.
Do you think, though, that people are going to read this more now?
I think when it's done, they will say, "My God, Scott, this is a studio to behold."
You think?
I think.
Okay. They already say that.
Well, you know.
They say it's very cozy and wonderful and nice.
I've been talking to the people at Yahoo, and they think it could be done better.
Well, Yahoo has already made their opinions. Did you understand what Buckeye Guy said?
On which subject? He was
the
all
game.
Over the board.
Yeah, the game. But I don't think he was in Texas. I think we did learn that.
I think he was right, at the end there, 17-14, we still have a chance to come back, you know, and put the game away. And we did not.
Okay, Matt, give it to us.
It flew out of our control.
Well, this is from the Marion County Prosecutor's Office. It says that Ray Grogan today announced that the Ohio Third Court of Appeals has affirmed Chadwick Allen Greenwalt Sr.'s convictions and sentence of 15 years to life in prison.
All right, 15 years to life in prison.
By the way, he was found guilty on all three counts of felonious assault, murder, and...
He was found guilty of murder?
Manslaughter.
And you only get 15 years for murder?
Is he perhaps up for parole in 7 years? Maybe that's where the caller is mistaken. Maybe he's up for parole in 7 years.
Well, it says... Why is it maximum of 15 to life? Wouldn't it be minimum of 15, maximum life? Like that's the scale there?
That would be the wrong use of the word maximum.
Yeah, so yeah.
Life would be the maximum.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so who wrote that press release?
It came from the prosecutor's office.
Well, there you go. There you are. Maximum of
15 to life.
Okay. Well, Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you're going to have to fire Adam.
Uh-oh.
He had on this news 7 years.
When was this? I don't even remember this.
Like, a couple years ago.
Several months back.
Several months? Now, Matt said a couple years ago.
There you go.
Like a year.
Well,
it was, I'm pretty sure it was like 2023.
That's not when the trial was.
I think maybe we're talking about two different cases. I'm sure Adam had it right. I don't think Adam had it wrong, but maybe we're talking about two different things here.
Well, I know who Chad Greenwald is, and when he had it on the news, you have to ask Adam again. But I didn't hear from no other source, but on your radio station, you might have to start doing the news again.
No, I think Adam, I imagine Adam had it right, but I...
He does a good job.
Yeah, right. So it's something, there's just a little confusion here.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to him, figure it out.
Well, I mean, you know,
the
I think...
The internet could be wrong, too.
No.
But no, but what year is this from? What's the
Everything
date?
Everything you see on the internet's true.
What? Maybe...
Everything you hear on the internet's true.
What year is this?
I'm reading a right now. 1 second. I'm like going through a court case from this year.
So it's this year.
Yeah, the Supreme Court versus Chadwick Greenwald.
2025. Maybe it changed when it went to the Supreme Court.
That's a possibility.
That might be a possibility. I don't know.
But I don't know.
Okay.
I'm looking for the indictment.
In any event, this is where we are. Thanks.
Yep.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, I don't really understand that, though.
What aspect? The 7 years?
Well, no,
years
I mean...
Minimum? Or?
Was there, like, confusion in the murder?
On whose part?
Well, the person who got murdered, I guess.
Oh, I see that big butcher knife. I'm not afraid of
Well, no, did they try to kill the other person? Was it self-defense? I mean, what is the...
I don't know.
Why only 15 years for a murder, I guess, is... I thought that was a little harsher sentence.
I knew nothing about this case until the half hour ago.
Oh, well, me too.
This is a long court document.
They always are. They get paid by the word.
They do like to write. Why do things have to be so complicated?
But, you know, there's a lot of factors going into it, and any murder with a knife or some other with a means like that, it's an act of passion. You know, it's not like, you know, it happens, you know, innocently, you know, with picked up a gun and shot you, you know, without any thinking. You have to think about killing somebody with a knife, and you have to put, you know, and you have to be committed at that point. I mean, you know. And those certainly bring in a lot of different circumstances. You know, is it a crime of passion, you know, that's been going on for a while or what? And so those could be extenuating circumstances that came into the sentencing. You know, maybe the victim had been goading, you know, the aggressor, you know, for some time, you know, or what other factors are involved here? I don't know because I don't know the case. But certainly there's something more going on there than just picking up a gun and shooting it.
Right,
or dropping a gun and it going off and somebody gets killed, you know. I mean,
so I don't think it's murder. It's flat-out murder.
I think it's more of a case of murder, you know. Manslaughter might be an
accident. The incident happened in 2022, by the way.
2022.
Manslaughter typically involves an accidental murder, or careless use of firearm or something of that nature. Whereas, like I said, when you're killing with a knife, you put some thought into it. You know, and it's more of an
So it's not a crime of passion with a knife.
Oh, definitely it is.
I thought you said you put some thought into it when do it with a knife.
Some passionate thought. But
I guess.
But, you know, it's something that's going to be building over time. You know, I mean, it's...
So, regardless, 15 years to life, I guess, is what it is. Is that a just sentence?
Apparently, according to our legal system, yes.
Well, I mean, I guess it's 15 years to life. So, I mean, if it's closer to the to life, then, I mean, yeah. If it's closer to the 15, then maybe not. But I don't know, like, the circumstances, I suppose.
Well, I would guess the other person got life.
Well,
that is true.
They did, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. Was it a woman?
The one that got stabbed? Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
There you are.
Well, I mean, that's sad. I mean, it sounds like, as you said, crime of passion.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you are.
At a campground.
At a campground. Always, you know, bad things happen at campgrounds because people go there and they start drinking and they know they don't have to drive anywhere and they're listening to music and they're doing those sort of things and it becomes a problem.
Right, and you think about, you know, the next time, you know, you had some, you know, your scouts are there on a camping trip, they'll be telling the story around a campfire. Oh, this killer Chad might be out there looking in the words.
He certainly could. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I don't think it was a crime of passion. He was a guest with somebody out there at the campground, and he was drunk. The other people should all be drunk, too. And there was a argument, and it turned into a little fight, and that's when he pulled the knife and stabbed her. And he took off on his motorcycle. And, you know, they caught up to him and got him, but, you know, it wasn't, I don't think she was his girlfriend or loving her, so I know.
So it wasn't premeditated.
Who he's married to, as far as I know, still married to her, I don't know. But it wasn't, you know, his girlfriend or wife or something he stabbed.
So not a crime of passion?
No, it wasn't no crime of passion.
Wasn't that worse then? I mean, if it's a, I mean, then it just become an outright murder then?
I don't know. I mean, and now every couple, 3 years or whatever, the family's going to have to go to the parole hearings to try to keep him in jail. And they're going to have to do that, you know, for the rest of his life or their life or something. But that's, in, you know, another thing when people get sentences, you know, and they might get a light sentence. And if you don't go to those hearings, it's a good, you know, did you know that mother that, I forget her name, that killed her kids?
Well, see, now,
lake.
We don't know that she killed her kids. That's an allegation, I think.
Well, she drove it into the lake, but.
Well, but, listen, we interviewed the fathers and the whole bit and the grandmothers, and I as far as I know, that's just an allegation.
Oh, you interviewed them?
I did.
Well, you had to play that interview again.
Yeah, yeah. It's in the archives somewhere. I don't know. You know, listen, I assume that was the best that could be gotten for some reason.
All right, I found it finally. After all
okay,
this time,
go quick. Go quick. Go quick.
On August 6, 2024, he appeared for sentencing, and the court determined, let's just skip all of that. He was the trial court ordered Greenwalt to serve a term of life imprisonment with the possibility of parole after 15 years, and then issued its judgment entry sentencing on August 9th, 2024.
But do we know what happened?
What do you mean?
I mean, well, it's a 51-page
if
document.
If these people were a relationship, that makes it less bad? I guess I'm trying to figure out
well,
the point.
No, I think, I don't know for certain, but I mean, I assume it was because there was alcohol. I assume both of them were intoxicated. I don't know. But, and then there was an argument that took place before. So it wasn't like a premeditated first-degree murder. It was more like as Bob said, like a, what they'd probably refer to as a crime of
anger.
Passion. And yeah, and you weren't in your right state of mind either. You were intoxicated. They were intoxicated.
That's just what happened in camp. Happens in campgrounds, folks. I'm telling you.
I've been at a lot of campgrounds, okay?
Well, one day you'll come back
yeah,
with a stab wound.
Campgrounds drinking 99% of them.
Better stay away from those knives out there. Keep those knives away. We'll be back. Stay tuned. We've got more show coming up. Don't go anywhere.
I didn't even know. To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and